others dying without our deliver. Arise and pray, arise and pray. Till the whole world hears, till the whole world knows. Lord, send us out where you would have us go. Till the lost world hears, till the last one knows. The grace of God, the love that you have shown. Till the whole world hears.
So let's open our Bibles to Proverbs 29, verse 18. Like I said, we're taking a break from Revelation. And Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Another translation actually said, where there's no vision, the people perish. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, God said to Habakkuk, write the vision down. Make it plain. You know, just understand what it is that I am doing so that you in turn are able to yield and do what it is that I'm doing. You know, and I'll give you an example with Habakkuk. When they entered the promised land, the Israelites were supposed to conquer the land. In Habakkuk's time, when he wrote the vision, and the vision was, you're not going to conquer. You need to surrender to the Babylonians. And Jeremiah said, you can fight all you want, but you will not win against the Babylonians. So what they needed, what Israel always needed, what they had in the desert was direction. They needed vision. You know, the pillar of fire by night, the cloud during the day. God, what are you doing? And we need to ask ourselves, what is it that God is doing? What is it that God wants to do in our lives, in the church that we're part of, in Mallorca, in the world? Acts 26, verse 19 says that the Apostle Paul, when he was converted, he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. God told me I was going to be a vessel to the Gentiles, and I wasn't disobedient to that. I yielded the rest of my life today, and we need vision. Not just vision, but heavenly vision for our lives and for our lives as part of the Church of Jesus Christ. So what are we? What are we as a church? What is the church? What vision do we need to have in our lives being part of this church? What's the vision? And first and foremost, as believers, and as being part of the Santa Ponsa Community Church, we are a Jesus-centered church. You know, the story about the two guys that were, they met in the Amazon, and one guy says to the other, where are you from? And he goes, oh, I'm American. No way, I'm American too. That's amazing. And then he goes, yeah, and you have a cross. What are you a Christian? He says, I'm a Christian. No, imagine this. Two Christians meeting in the middle of the Amazon. And what guy said, what denomination are you? And he's like, oh, I'm a Baptist. He's like, no. Really? Me too? Imagine this. Two American Christian Baptists meeting in the middle of the Amazon. Are you a First Baptist or a Southern Baptist? The guy goes, I'm a First Baptist. And he goes, you're going to burn in hell. You know, and it's just like sometimes it just gets so weird. We are Christians. We belong to Jesus. We are Jesus-centered. You know, right now everything's so polarized with COVID or with politics or with this or with that, and you know, or with Trump or no Trump, and it's like, you know what? Our loyalty is not to a political party. Our loyalty is not to a particular viewpoint of what's going on. Our loyalty is to Jesus. And I wrote an email to someone recently and I said, you know, I mean, one thing that Loretta longs for is that Arden and Jonathan would get along. She just longs for them to get along, to be good friends, to be close friends. And I said to the person, imagine how much more Jesus wants that from us. We might be diverse in personalities, but what we are, what really resounds in the church, what I would love, if you were to ask me, what would you like to be the main theme of the church here in Santa Ponsa? It would be Jesus. That we would talk about His majesty, that we would talk about His humility, that we would talk about His grace, that we would talk about His power, that we would talk about how our hearts burn within us as He shares, that we would talk about just how He's coming back, that we would talk about how He transforms lives, that we would talk about how He looked through our lives. And one day He called us, and it is Jesus, Jesus. And you know what? Many times we go to we are in conversations with people, and it's like, man, the Spirit is the center of attention. You know, if we would just have the Spirit, and then we say, you know, there's a famous book that was written, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And I understand, I really do understand that we need to walk in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I understand that. But get this, when Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come, remember what He said? He says, when the Spirit comes, He will testify of Me. Where the Spirit is working with power, Jesus is the center of attention. Jesus. A Christ-centered church. God the Father, yes, of course. God the Spirit, yes, of course. But Jesus-centered. And therefore, because of that, I know of no other way. Because we are a Jesus-centered church, I know of no other way of being a Jesus-centered church than by being a church that's given to the teaching and proclaiming of the Word of God. Remember, Paul said, if anyone brings to you any other Jesus than what we have preached, so there's different Jesuses, in a sense, different caricatures that we can make of them, but where we get who Jesus is from the Scriptures. I had somebody the other day said to me, well, this actually I say the other day, but it's usually when I say it's the other day, it was a couple of years ago, but say to me, you know, I just like this that Jesus said, but I don't believe that this of Jesus. And I'm like, well, you're creating a Jesus of your own imagination, not the Jesus of the Bible. What we need is the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word. And you think about how wonderful it is to eat and salivate and enjoy food and then to swallow it and how it feeds and energizes our bodies and maintains our bodies. It maintains our human life in the same way Jesus said, bread alone does not feed a man. If you want to feed a man's body, yes, use bread. If you want to feed a man's soul, a man's spirit, give him the Word of God. The Word of God is what's going to cause people to grow healthy, strong as believers. In following Jesus, Paul said to Timothy before departing the earth, you know, and you think of whenever you're about to leave the earth, you're going to talk about the things that matter most. And Paul told Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word. There's going to be many ideas. You're even going to be discouraged at times. And sometimes it might even feel like it falls flat. But share the Word of God, because that's what people need in their soul. That is the reality. And we as a church, we want to be committed to, from the youngest to the eldest, to teaching the Word of God, to reading the Word of God. One of the greatest things that I've ever done in the ministry here has been, you know, the times with Bart and Paul where we would sit in the woods in Pagera and we would just read together five verses apiece, kind of like we do at Devos, you know, or you know, I've done that with people. But to me, it's amazing when people encounter the Word for themselves. And you see lives being transformed. It is the Bible that changes people's lives. This used to be handed to the king, the queen or king of England or the UK or the United Kingdom. Every time they were coronated, made king, they were given a Bible. And during, and in the King James Bible, there was this written, during the British coronation ceremony, a Bible is presented to the monarch with the words. So they give him this. We present you with this book, the most valuable thing this world affords. Here's wisdom. This is the royal law. These are lively oracles of God. These words are true and deeply significant. This book has the power not only to inform, but to reform and to transform lives. Through its influence, countless people have been given a new strength, an unerring purpose, and a sure hope in life. To the dying, it has brought peace and assurance of eternal life. It has brought blessing to millions in every land and age. And we have this book in our hands. But we have to be careful that we're not superstitious people. You know, we love going to Israel. And I remember one of our trips to Israel, the guy goes, "You're Christians?" And I said, Yeah, we're Christians. And he opens his glove compartment and he grabs the Bible and he says, "This is always in my glove compartment and never comes out." You know, it's like, no. We're like, it doesn't have to be in the glove compartment, it has to be in our hearts. And we are committed. We want to do whatever it takes to have people that come through these doors, people that we meet, not to be attracted to a particular rules, but to understand the Word of God for themselves and to watch them be transformed by that. The next thing that we want, because of course we have the Bible and we've all seen, and we talked about it a week or two ago, the atrocities, in my opinion, that happened in London. You know, these people with billboards. Have you ever seen them? With billboards, "Jesus is coming today." I mean, they are some of the harshest people that I've ever met. They would consider themselves Christians. I really sometimes wonder because, you know, it's one thing to know the Bible. It's one thing to have a heart that's been transformed by the Lord of the Bible. And I remember being on a plane. And I remember an Orthodox Jew sitting next to me. It was a long-haul plane to the States. And he had the Old Testament. And I happened to be reading the Old Testament. And he was like this. And I just thought, oh my goodness. I said, what makes me different? And it's not just knowing the Bible, it's having a changed life, isn't it? And when we have a changed life, we speak the truth. But how do we speak the truth? In love. There's got to be love in our lives. So we are a Jesus-centered church. Therefore, we teach the Bible, but we are a Jesus-centered church. And therefore, we walk in love. You know what I love about when I read the Gospels? Is people love Jesus. It was the religious people that didn't like Jesus. And people pressed to hear the Word of God. And he would go to someone like Zacchaeus and say, "Zacchaeus, I'm eating at your house today." And Zacchaeus would go, "Come on over." He would be shocked. You know, it's almost like, I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful, but it would almost like going to a Rolling Stones concert, and Mick Jagger says, "Hey, I'm eating at your place today." You're like, "Whoa, what?" You know what I mean? It's just like infinitely more. Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth, saying, "I'm coming to your house." And people love to be around them because he was love incarnate. And John 3, 13, 34 says, "Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." And we want to see our lives in our midst, in the midst of a culture with love growing and developing, where anyone that comes to this church through the doors will make it their home, and they will be both givers and receivers of love. That we would love people. That we would, of course, there's things we have to say, this is right, this is wrong. Of course, we have to deal with difficult situations, but it is a big difference when we deal with situations with bigotry, with pride, with I am better than you mentality. Maybe a mini sermon, if you would have just done it differently. I mean, imagine someone's drowning and you just go, "Well, you should have taken your life vest." No, just save the person. Just help the person. You know, they don't need a sermon in the moment. They just need help. And so to have that, the temptation is to focus on the word without love, or to focus on love without the word. In Revelation 2:2, it says, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake, and hate for them my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have lost your first love." And in dealing with people, a warmth. You know, to be honest, as a pastor, sometimes it's a bit difficult, you know, when you see people going through the same thing for a long time, or with the kids. I mean, we've had a couple of rough weeks with the kids, and you just kind of become irritable, and there should be a warmth about us, of valuing people no matter what it is that they're going through. Every single person is valuable. Receivers and givers of love, getting to know people, not just today coming to church, there was a lady. It was a particular lady, just dressed kind of normal, and she had some gloves on, and she was walking three incredible white wolf-looking dogs. I mean, it was just like just white. And Jonathan goes, "That's the maid. That's not the owner." And I said, "How do you know?" "Because I saw her clean outside the house the other day." And I said, "Well, how do you know she wasn't cleaning her own house?" I said, "What if you would have seen a lady with nice earrings and a nice dress walking the three dogs? Would you have said she was the owner?" And he goes, "I feel bad right now." And then I go, "Why? You don't have to feel bad. Don't feel guilty about it." He goes, "Oh, no, I judge the book by its cover." You know, and that was so sweet, you know. But in reality, it's like, you know, to get to know people not by their outward appearance. Remember what God said, you know, man looks at the outward appearance when David was chosen, but God looks at the heart. Remember when everyone was given the big gifts, and this old lady, she gave 2 pence, and then Jesus says, "Hey, object lesson here. She's given more than everybody because she gave out of her need. Everybody else gave out of the abundance." It's the heart, so that we would be people that don't judge people by outward appearance, but we would actually delight in getting to know people. That we would actually not judge maybe what it is that they're doing, but maybe kind of have some compassion on why it is that they're doing it. I remember I learned a couple of big lessons about this in London. We went to actually Devon, and there was a girl, young girl. She was kind of hitting on us, and I looked at Pastor Brian, and I just said, "Oh, Brian, I can't believe it. She's hitting on us, you know." And you know, the little Pharisee in my heart, you know. And Brian just goes, "She's lost. She doesn't know the Lord. You don't know what she's gone through in her life." And that we would not be like that we would be people that actually, imagine that, don't be like the pastor, but that we will not be like that we would be people that actually are interested in people. Loretta's amazing. Everywhere we go, Loretta's just like, she finds these gems of people. She's a great listener. She asks questions, you know, that we would be people that are like that, praying for each other, serving one another, speaking kindly, forgiving one another, bearing with one another, committed to one another, open, faithful, not oversensitive, knowing that love covers a multitude of sins, considerate. And this is a huge one for me. Not using people. You know, that we will not be people that use people for our means, for our desires. There will be people that delight in people flourishing in and of themselves for their sake. Number three would be, not just if we are Jesus people, we are given to the Word of God, we're giving to love, and we're also, another thing that we would resemble would be to be servants, to have a heart to serve. In Matthew 10:45, it says, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And every follower of Jesus is called to serve the Lord by serving people. Serving people inside as well as outside of the church. And it all starts with a prayer within the heart of, "Lord, how..." Well, you know what Paul prayed. Paul prayed this: "Who are you, Lord? And what is it that you want me to do?" I remember I became a Christian, and within a short amount of time, there was a missions trip going from the university I was studying in North Carolina, and going to Mexico, to the Tarahumara Canyons, to the Tarahumara Indians, so I had been a Christian 3 months. And I just went there to serve the Lord. And it was just like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Now, I didn't serve anything. The poor guy, everybody that went with built this toilet. I just borrowed the horse of the missionaries and just rode through the canyon sharing the gospel with all the Mexicans, you know, because I spoke Spanish. But I think something changed right there where I realized that coming to know the Lord was not just going to be something of knowing Him. It was going to be being full of purpose with Him. And it starts with the small things. Lord, what do you want me to do? And I hate to embarrass Tom, but just recently with Tom was quite amazing because, or even Pear. Andreas, you know, but it was just like a chain of things. And when the lockdown happened, Andreas contacted a friend in Germany and said, "Hey, you got to help this church get online." And then the guy contacted me and I was like, "It's too complicated for me. I'm just not going to go online, you know." And then the guy was really insistent. He's like, "Look, I really want to help you." And then so I got him in touch with Paul. And then I said to Pear, "Would you like to do the videos?" And then we were sitting in my little shack. We have a little PVC house in the back. And Pear just looks at me and he's like, I mean, almost with tears in his eyes. And he says, "I feel like God has given me purpose." I mean, it was just making videos, or it was really making videos for, I mean, he goes, "I just want people to understand the church is not boring. I want them to all the preconceived ideas of what church is, that it would just vanish, that we would do church online." And you know, but when he said, "I just feel like God has given me purpose," my heart melted. And then I was telling Tom that. And we were power washing outside downstairs. And as we were power washing downstairs, Tom goes, that's exactly how I feel. I feel like God has given me purpose. Because I was telling him the story of Pear. And then the whole food bank thing opened. And then Tom took it over and the thing took off. And then with even when I came with Barb, but all of you guys, you know, when we get to a point where we are not just being served, but we come to maturity and we actually begin to serve. Don't we want that in our house with our kids? You kind of get to, when are they going to realize that it's they need to maybe help set the table? You know, and then, you know, when that happens, growth happens. It happened. I mean, Paul told Timothy, you know, those deacons that serve well, they gain great confidence in the faith. Something inward happens, and it comes by making ourselves available to serve. But you know what? Most, it starts with giving time. It starts with giving talents. And you know, there's such a thing of emphasis on money that to me, it becomes, it's terrible. I hate it. You know, automatically, you talked about tithing and everyone thinks money. And in the last few years, I've just been thinking, if people would give 10% of their giftings, do you know what would happen in the Church of Jesus Christ? If they would say, if they would acknowledge, Lord, you've given me this gift and I get to use it for myself, for my own life, whatever it is that I'm able to do. But 10%, I want to dedicate it to you. You know, we have Niels here at the church. He's a graphic designer and he does all the graphic design for any Pamper nappies outside of the United States. And he helped us design all the teddy bears downstairs for the school. And I'm just like, my goodness, or pair with the video or whatever. It was people with music. If we would not be so focused on the money, but we would be so focused on the serving and how we can give of our time and our gifting, my goodness, our community will be rocked. It will be rocked. Do you realize how important you are to the Lord? Do you realize how important to the work? He can do it without you, don't get me wrong, but he wants to include us. It's kind of like when I include Arden. He gets more in the way than anything. But I want to include him because I want him to mature. God wants to include us in what he's doing. Don't you think God could have shared the gospel much more eloquently and much more effectively than the 12 apostles? I mean, they were a bunch of knuckleheads, and yet God used them tremendously in spite of them. And God wants to use you. You know what? In a good way. We had one lady at church, like, when you say use, that sounds so bad. But it means utilize. It means to actually use to its full purpose, to bring to flourishing. And you are important. Do you realize how important you are to the believers, to the church? Your presence, your giftedness, your love, your ear to hear people, your serving in this local church, faithfulness. And, you know, to be honest, faithfulness is huge, to have a mentality to serve, but have a faithfulness, because really in churches, because people volunteer, it's really difficult to find, I mean, faithfulness is a real coveted attribute. People to be rely on, to be able to rely on. So we are a Jesus church. Jesus given, a church given to the Word of God, a church given to love, a church given to service. And then finally, but not quite to the end yet, we are a kingdom-minded church. Now, this is huge. In Ephesians 4, 3 and through 6, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, and who is above all and through and in you all. And to be a kingdom-minded church means that we are not only concerned for our own church, but we want to see all churches that love the Lord Jesus and honor Jesus be blessed. Now, I'm not saying this because Owen is here, but his dad, when I came to the island, the churches here in Spain were extremely divided. And I got to know Owen's dad, Andrew, years ago. And he came, I think we came around the same time to the island. And it was amazing because he has very strong convictions, but he was such a unifying force with people to be able to agree to disagree on certain things. He really has and had a kingdom-minded mentality. We partner with churches in our community to see our cities impacted for the gospel. You know, and no insult to this, but you know, when they say that when we get to heaven, there was one little room in a corner in heaven. And all the believers are sitting there going, hey, Lord, what is that room over there? Who's over there? It's like, that's a special group of people, but who are they? Please, I don't mean them. It's just as a joke. They're the brethren. They think that they're the only ones that made it. You know, sometimes you kind of have the mentality of like, you know, we are the church of Jesus Christ. You know, no. The church of Jesus Christ, the catechism says we believe in the invisible church of Jesus Christ. That means the believers that are scattered throughout the earth. It doesn't matter. Coming to church doesn't make a person a believer. Being a Roman Catholic doesn't make someone a believer. Being a Baptist doesn't make someone a believer. Knowing Jesus makes someone a believer. And so when we are a Jesus-centered church, we want the Jesus that is the God of everybody. And we're able to work with believers. You know, when I first came to the island, there was one girl who was a Christian in Cala Rajada, and we were able to minister to her and help her out and stuff. And the church she was going to, the pastor said this to her, and it just blew my mind. It blew my mind. The pastor said, "You're hanging out with your cousins more than with your brothers." Do you see what he was saying? That we were cousins. We were not really... You know, it's like, no, we are not cousins. We are brothers. We belong to the church of Jesus Christ. Count Zinzendorf said, "I have one passion, and it is Jesus, Jesus alone." Whitfield said, "Let the name of Whitfield vanish forever, and the name of Jesus live forever." And it is just wonderful to be able to be a part of what Jesus is doing, not just in this local church, but what he's doing in the world. You know, and it's been amazing with Gospel Tribe coming here, going to Arenal, or with Dorothy in India, and now with Elfie and Beat in Africa, and with the different ministries that pop up, and you just see people are kingdom-minded, and you think, that is just wonderful. We get to serve the Jesus in our generation. And being kingdom-minded also means that we look for opportunities in our community to display the attributes of life in the kingdom of God, whether justice, righteousness, care, kindness, generosities, mercies. And I'm so thrilled. How many families are being fed right now by the food bank? 80. 80 families a week we are feeding. And you should see, I mean, you see these families with their children, and what an opportunity to take our children to talk to the staff there. It's like, can we help? But you see people coming that are hurting do not have food, and we're able to serve not because people come to church, which we are helping people in church, but we are able to help anybody for love's sake. Serve the kingdom. For the poor, for the stranger, for the immigrant, for the oppressed, for the sexually abused. In Jeremiah 29:7, it says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city which you're in, to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper. But of course, we don't just give food. We have a great commission. We want to be a great commission church. We want to be a church that shares the love of God with people. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded. And my desire, you know, I'll tell you a story the other day. These solar plaques that they put to save electricity, they put the solar panels. Yeah. So a girl comes over and she's like, you know, we're selling these things. And then this other one comes from the back and she's much more aggressive. And she's like, let us in. And I'm like, okay, come in, you know, and we're sitting there talking. And then all of a sudden one looks and there's a Bible back there. She's like, oh, you read the Bible? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, oh, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a pastor. By the end of it, I'm praying for the two of them. And they just have tears running down their eyes. And you know what? In their hearts, people need God. People need God. And we don't need to go arguing with people. You know, and this is something that I learned from Gospel Tribe, from Gurna when he came. One of the times they came, he says, we're going out to Arenal and we're not sharing the gospel at the moment. We're just asking for prayer requests from people. And we tell them, is there a prayer request? Tomorrow we're going to have a prayer meeting and we're going to pray for you. And people would open up and say, you know what? My father's got cancer. Could you pray for my father? My mother's sick, or my sibling is this, or whatever's going on. Would you pray? And then next thing you know, they were able to share the gospel with them. And right there and then, I learned something. He didn't say this to me. It just like the Lord revealed it to me in that moment. When we get too philosophical, we raise the philosopher in people. When we ask people if we can pray for them, you know what we raise? We bring out man in need of God. And then we're able to bring the gospel into people's lives. But we have to bring the gospel into people's lives. I mean, at the end, I mean, it's great that we feed people. It's great that we care for people. But no greater love than this, that they may know that they have a Savior. That they have someone. And it's something that I've been saying to people recently. And it just stuck with me. Because I'm used to saying to people, I love you. I love you. I love you. And even Arden now, 100 times a day, he'll say, I love you, Daddy, and Mommy, and Jonathan. You know, and he'll just go through the whole routine. But you know what? The thing that I've been saying is, I love you. But you know what? Jesus loves you infinitely more. And at the end of the day, people need to know that when our love fails, Jesus' love doesn't fail. Jesus' love is great. And this means going everywhere, all nations, wherever we are. We must be open to a fresh leading of the Holy Spirit, not to get too bogged down in sort of how to, but to realize that we walk in fellowship, in life. We walk in the power of the Spirit. We walk in the presence of the Spirit. We are rich as rich can be. And we have the best news in the universe. And you know what? At the end of the day, what we want to grow in is confident and how God is leading us to bless people's lives. And you know what? Being open to the Spirit means the message doesn't change, but please understand this, the culture does. So we have to be careful that we are not bogged down by tradition. Oh, we don't do this because of tradition. The question is, what does the Bible say? A Spirit-empowered church. gifts of the Spirit, the boldness that He gives, the growing. A confidence in whose we are, what we believe, why we believe it, who we believe it, and the fact that we're able to pray with people knowing that He hears us. And how do we respond to this? I'm going to give you four brief things, 2 minutes. One, devote yourself to knowing Jesus deeper. I asked a friend of mine this year, it was last year, New Year's Day. I don't usually do New Year's resolution, but I said, this person is very goal-oriented, very structured. I said, what do you want to accomplish this year in your life more than anything else, priority-wise? And he's like, oh my goodness, that's a question. And I said, how about walking closer to Jesus this year than you ever have before? And he did. And he's a different man. He's a different man than ever. Devote ourselves to knowing Jesus in a deeper way and ask the Holy Spirit to help you follow Him more closely. Number two, share your faith. And invite people to hear about Jesus. Now, this can be complicated. Jonathan is really going through a crisis because none of his friends at school are believers. He gave one Bible to one of them and he cried. But he's really struggling. He's like, I just don't know. I don't want to be different. I want to be the same, you know. I don't want to stand out. But ask the Lord for boldness and also, how can I say this, attractiveness. A way to be able to do it in a very natural way, but to be able to say, hey, can I pray for you? Or you know, I don't know, just ask the Lord, but in a way that you're able to share the love of God with people. Number three, give yourself to some consistent, faithful service to the Lord. Just say, Lord, what do you want me to do? No matter how minute, no matter how big, that you'll be able to say, look, I just want to be able to give this to you. And be faithful with it. And then lastly, I'm going to ask that you would pray fervently and faithfully for a great work of God's Spirit in our time. You know, we have, it's just funny because whenever you plant stuff, it takes time to see. But you ever notice whenever you plant different things, little things pop up here and there, you know, sprouts, or I don't know what it's called, but you have the tomato plants begin to pop up, and then you have the little aubergine one coming out, and you don't really know what it is at the time, but it's something like that's happening. I mean, look with the nursery. I mean, something's happening. We had a family come last Sunday, and we gave them a Bible, and they're so excited about bringing their kids. There's a waiting list to go in. We kind of gauge when to get more teachers, when to also know how to navigate the kids that are there. But I mean, here are kids being taught. From morning to Friday, they're having fun. I mean, you should stand out there at 9 o'clock in the morning. Don't be creepy about it. But I mean, you should see how the kids are longing to come. They love coming. And the other day was one's birthday, and it was happy birthday on the door, and he was just so excited to be able to go to nursery. One was sick, and the mom said, I'm not going to send them. And I think it was Zuli could hear the kids saying, but I want to go, you know. And they're learning about the animal kingdom through creation. And they're learning about God. And then there's the food bank. And then there's just the different things in our community going on. There's the church service. You can bring him to the church service. There's the salon where I think, she'll be there praying for people and sharing with people. How many people have you shared the gospel with there? It's just the innumerable amount of people. It's just a wonderful privilege we have. And these things are popping up everywhere. Pray We have the videos going out and people are listening to the gospel from South Africa and different places. It's just amazing what's happening. Pray that God will do a great work. Africa as well, they just went over to Uganda and they dug a well to bring water to a town and the gospel. You know, can you imagine all of a sudden you dig the well and water comes out? And then you just simply say, Jesus said, if you drink of this water, you'll thirst again, but the water he gives, you will never thirst again. Just a mate. Let's pray that God will just do a tremendous work and be a part of it, no matter how insignificant the part. Be faithful, because we get to be a part of what God is doing on the earth. And I had one famous pastor say to me, he was visiting here, but he's very well known in the UK. And we sat and I was picking his brain and stuff. And he said to me, you know what? Some people would rather be the head of a mouse than the tail of a lion. And that just really struck me, you know? Sometimes it's just because we want the protagonism. But if we would just be content with what God has given it, how he has given it, and we get to be content to be a part of it all, it's just amazing. So may God bless you this week. I hope this gives you some vision of where we are heading, what the heartbeat is. And may we see and experience beyond and above anything we could have ever thought or asked for. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Lord, so much for your word. And you know that we move by vision. We really do. Without vision, the people perish. Paul was not disobedient to the vision. And you told Habakkuk, write the vision down and make it plain. And we want to be Jesus people, Lord. We want to be a church that you, Jesus, are magnified, that you as reality is seen, that you as king, that you as humble, that you as powerful, that you as physician, that you as everything, the great I am. Oh, Father, just give us the ability. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Be the sun. capture my heart. I surrender my will. Focus my mind till I'm yielded and still. Hearing your voice to answer your call. Carried away till I can't speak. Carry me away.